And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a massive show for you here today. Loaded show, lots of football talk all throughout. Emory Hunt from Football Game Plan will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll look ahead to the upcoming NFL draft with him just 50 days away from the NFL draft. So getting closer and closer here on the program. Matt Duchesne drops by at 8:45 for his weekly visit. Adam Vingan at 9:30, and lots of Titans talk throughout the show today. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, how are we doing?
Doing okay.
Just okay?
Okay.
Okay. Ryan Porth, you doing okay?
I'm doing better than okay.
That's good. Very good.
Good. Good to hear.
Yeah,
someone's got to be.
That's right. The Nashville Predators last night, a tough 3-2 overtime loss to Carolina. I'll be honest, Joe, when we saw the news yesterday that Roman Josi was going to be week-to-week with an upper body injury, and we'll talk about that specifically a little bit more in the show today, but I thought, oh boy, this could be tough for the Predators against Carolina. That's a team that they've struggled with to begin with anyway this year, and Carolina playing really well right now. But I thought the Predators came out, played pretty well for the most part last night, especially 5-on-5. You know, you get a couple goals, you're up 2-0 in the game, and then Carolina strikes on the power play in the second period. Jordan Staal, the game winner in overtime. I thought all in all, though, given the lineup that the Predators put together last night with, you know, Duchesne not being in, Ellis not being in, Josi not being in, I thought they played pretty well.
Yeah. It's the Pontus theory, you know.
Yeah.
It's like they were going to go out and absolutely get annihilated by the Ducks once we found out Johansson was out, and Pontus Åberg scores a big goal. He was Åberg then. He wasn't Åberg yet.
Yeah.
So it's that team rallying together, all banged up, and it was good. It was a good effort. First overtime loss of the year.
First overtime loss of the year. I think Edmonton may be the only team now that doesn't have one. I have to go back and check and make sure they still don't have one. But as of a couple of days ago, they didn't have one. So I'm assuming they haven't lost an overtime since then.
So congrats, Preds.
Yeah.
You got your first overtime loss of the year.
Get a point. Now started the road trip with 3 out of a possible 4 points. And goals last night from Matt Benning and Ryan Johansson. And Johansson, I thought, played pretty well last night. Got to the front of the net on his goal. That's where you'd like to see him, I think, a little bit more in front of the net. He was very difficult to move and gets a nice redirection for the Predators on that play.
Yeah, you have missing all these guys. You need someone like him to compensate, step up, and do more. So he's had big impact the last couple of games. Not always necessarily good, but again, I still support his reaction in Dallas too.
So we'll continue to talk about the Predators a little bit more throughout the show today with some thoughts on Philip Forsberg, like we talked about yesterday. David Poyle mentioned that on Darren Donick and Chase. We'll react to that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that. But, Joe, lots of news yesterday in the NFL, including some news here with the Tennessee Titans that I don't think was particularly surprising, but now that it's actually happened, I'm very curious to get your reaction to it and the fans' reaction to it, and that is the Titans making the decision to move on and cut Malcolm Butler. Now, we talked about this many times throughout the offseason, and when we put together our plans on how the Titans are going to handle this offseason, you had them cutting Malcolm Butler and moving on. I had them cutting Adoree Jackson and moving on. Now that it has happened and that we know the Titans are moving on from Malcolm Butler, what is your reaction to this move by John Robinson?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guessed right on this one. But, you know, when it actually happens, you're like, man, you could really make a strong case to not do this. But it just shows you that, again, what we've been talking about is reality. I mean, you can manipulate the numbers to a certain point, and they will. They're going to have to still, but you're going to have to lose some really good players that you would not normally even think about losing. And it's tough. I think it's the right choice just because, you know, I don't think that Adoree Jackson's brief appearance last year coming off an injury is what he is. And I think 2019 showed that. And obviously, I just think that speed is the name of the game. And so Fulton, and it's Fulton, Jackson, and TBD in that starting secondary. And They're gonna miss Malcolm Butler, but that's a big chunk of change, and that's a $10 million savings.
It is a $10 million savings, and again, I was not surprised by what happened yesterday. My original reaction was, if you're John Robinson, you better be right about this, because if you're not, this secondary is going to suck. If Adoree Jackson does not come back and regain the form that he had in 2019, this could be rough in the secondary. So, again, I'm not surprised that this happened. I would have cut Adoree. I understand that he's younger. Malcolm Butler was like one of maybe two people who played well for you on defense last year. So I would have gone a different way. Obviously, I understand the money part of this and the age part of this. I agree with you. I think speed probably, when you break down the reasons why it was Butler and not Adoree Jackson, that's probably at the top of the list. And I get that. I understand that. But my first thought was, you better be right about this, John Robinson, because if you're not, this could be rough in the back end.
Yeah, and we knew Christian Fulton was going to be, by necessity, a very important player in 2021. You can't draft someone. You already lost your first-round pick. You completely went zero on first round. Your second-round pick has got to be an important player this year, healthy and on the field and playing well. We knew he would be a key part. But now, Adoree Jackson is a guy who – one of those players with a lot on them next year, because that's what this does, is it says you are the guy. Because, you know, in different matchups, basically against more physical, less speedy guys, Butler, if you're traveling someone, you're putting Butler on Allen Robinson, for right. example, right? And he's doing a great job. Well, now it's Adoree. If anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Adoree. And in some matchups, he's certainly better suited than Butler, but not in every matchup. And we don't know if he's going to be 2019 Adoree. I know that if the Titans could take Malcolm Butler's, you know, mental makeup and intangibles and everything and transfer them to Adoree Jackson, I think they feel like they'd have an all-pro. But that's just not reality. So they need Adoree Jackson to look at this year like this is his breakout year to become a star in the NFL. Well, I think he has the talent for it.
I think he's got the talent for it too, but there's got to be a different level that it gets taken to. And we talked about that even before last season when he was hurt the whole year. Like there still needs to be another level that Adoree Jackson hits. To me, that's got to happen this year. I mean, now that you don't have Malcolm Butler – I mean, who knows what Christian Fulton's going to play like and where he's going to play, whether they put him on the inside, whether they put him on the outside. I guess we'll still wait to see what happens on that area and the rest of free agency and throughout the draft process here. But to me, like, number one, Adoree Jackson's got to stay healthy this year. And number two, when he's on the field, there has got to be a constant commitment to trying to take your game to that next level. And if he does that, I agree with you. I think the tools are there for him to be a really, really good player in this league. I have not seen it anywhere near consistently enough, and that can't happen this year. They need Adoree Jackson to be a playmaker each game for this team, and that's got to happen this year with Malcolm Butler now gone.
Yeah, we're sort of looking at this, I think, kind of like Desmond King is just an afterthought, like he's moving. But I don't know. I mean,
maybe not.
Yeah, maybe the Butler plan also involves trying to sign Desmond King. And then, I mean, if you could pull it off, you'd have a pretty good secondary. You'd have Desmond King, I think, in the slot, and Fulton would be on the outside, and you'd have a chance to be pretty good there. To me, the numbers don't add up to even think about that, but I don't have all the numbers. They change a lot. The salary cap, very overrated, and very often manipulated.
Yes. As we've found out many times over the course of the past few years in the NFL. So with that in mind, let's introduce our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. And today's question is very simply this. Did the Titans make the right decision in cutting Malcolm Butler over Adoree Jackson? The options are yes or no. So we're not making this too complicated for you here on Twitter. Very early in the voting process, 50 votes are in so far. 58% say yes, the Titans made the right decision. 42% say no. So relatively close so far in the results of the poll question. I'm very interested to see how this plays out as the show goes on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this, and, you know, doing my little fantasy, put on my little John Robinson hat, this was part of my plan. But I would say this is like 50.5%. Yeah. I'd go this way versus like 49.5% go the other way. knowing you have to cut one of them. Again, I think if this is a normal year and the salary cap's around $200 million, then it's not even a – there's no question. Those are your starting corners along with the rookie, and you worry about other areas. That's just not what reality is in the NFL right now.
And we'll take your thoughts all show long on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So I do wonder now, that with Malcolm Butler out there in free agency, where he ends up and what the value for him looks like, because he is on the other side of 30 at this point. Now, obviously played very well last year, one of the few players that did on the Titans defense. But you know, and you know this better than me, just from being around Mike Vrabel as much as you have, like Malcolm Butler seems to me like the guy that Mike Vrabel would describe as the player that he wants to have on his defense. So obviously not an easy decision for the Titans, but I just wonder how much Malcolm Butler has left in the tank and where he could end up now in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he's like a lot of guys, and more, we're going to see more today, who are really good and valuable and on big deals that could not be, maintained by these clubs. So, I mean, someone is going to certainly come after Malcolm Butler. I just wonder, like, what's the deal look like? I mean, I think he's a guy, like a lot of them, who are in this situation who will probably be looking to take a one-year deal. I mean, you try to take a one-year deal on a contender and look, it's a gamble. Because if you can sign a multi-year deal, great. But, I mean, I think you're probably going to short yourself if you do that. So a one-year deal for a contender and then hope that things start going the other way and you can, bet on yourself again next year. But, like you said, for Butler, you get into your 30s and that gets tougher to do too.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD texts in and says, I feel like cutting Butler was the right move. He's 31 years old, $14 million. I hate seeing him go. He was one of maybe two guys that played well last year on defense. I'm just hoping last year's defense was partly a fluke and partly having no pass rush. We'll find out.
Well, he was. I mean, who played well on the defense last year? I think Jayon Brown did before he got hurt. I think Jeffrey Simmons did.
Especially early.
Yeah, more early than late. Butler.
That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, the other people had their moments, of course. I mean, I think Vaccaro had some moments. And by the way, if you want to talk about, people who, like, Vrabel loves on this defense, how they approach things and what they bring every day. I mean, I think Butler and Vaccaro are high on the list. Interesting. I thought Porth was going to end up right, that Vaccaro would be the first cut. He's not.
Yeah.
Does this mean they're not going to cut Vaccaro? It's hard to – I mean, it all adds up that they will.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting that it goes this way first.
It just – it felt like that was the obvious decision to make, that they would have made that one first. But
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe not.
Right. It doesn't mean that they have to make it first. But, yeah. I don't know. It's a big puzzle, and there's definitely more to come. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
There is, and we'll continue to talk about that when we come back on the other side and take your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Where do the Titans go from here in trying to piece together this defense in the offseason? We'll talk about it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans and free agency. Some moves made yesterday, including a move not made with the franchise tag. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. But the Titans making the decision yesterday to move on from Malcolm Butler and save $10 million in the process. Adoree Jackson still on the roster. Ryan Porth, what did you think of the Titans' decision to choose to move on from Malcolm Butler rather than Adoree Jackson?
I think you're splitting hairs between the two. I think it's really close in that decision. I will commend John Robinson for being consistent, because last year there was probably a similar reaction or outrage from a faction of the Titans fan base over the Jarrell Casey trade.
Yep.
Where that was more of a surprise because people didn't expect it as much but the consistency of getting out perhaps a year early rather than a year late with a player. Not saying that's the right move, but it feels consistent with that line of thinking for John Robinson and the Titans, and maybe his history with the New England Patriots. Personally, I probably would have cut Adoree. But Adoree pre-2020 was starting to progress into a pretty good corner. But 2020 was such a stain on how you think of Adoree Jackson. But I don't really know how much we should hold the injury against him, because we don't have a ton of info on exactly what it was that he played through when he returned to the lineup, or what kept him out. But I probably would have gone with Malcolm Butler to keep him over Adoree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know how you hold an injury against someone. I mean, I guess the question is this going to be a problem moving forward? Obviously, during the year, he also re-injured himself. I mean, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
Right? So, it was a knee. Knees are not great. That's not what you want with a corner. But I'm with you. Yeah, and it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot less surprising. We've been talking about this for weeks, about one of them probably, right? Casey was just out of left field. But I think you're right. It's a very Patriots-ish way to go. You just hope consistency is not the case from last offseason overall to this season. You don't want that consistency.
You want to derail that at some point.
Yeah. You want last offseason to be the wild anomaly.
I mean, everyone right after the season was looking at this offseason as John Robinson's opportunity to fix the defense in one fell swoop. I don't think that's really going to be the case. With the salary cap implications, this is probably going to be a two-year project or two off-season project.
Yeah, I think the question for the defense this offseason, if you're John Robinson, is like how much can you address? Like, can you get it back to average? Like, can you get to an average defense? Because if you do that, I think you give yourself a chance with the offense that you have. Hopefully your offense stays the same.
If your offense is good.
If your offense is good again. But I agree from the standpoint of, like, I don't expect this massive transformation of going from, like, the worst third down defense that we've ever seen in the NFL to all of a sudden being a top 10 defense in the league and just shutting people down. Like, to me, get the defense to a point where it just doesn't kill you every time you're on the field, and then you can work from there. But I agree with Porth. I think people expecting that you're all of a sudden just going to completely turn things around defensively, I don't know how realistic that is this offseason.
Right. Well, I mean, look, some of the answer here is in guys who we know can play better than they played last year.
Yeah.
Like, some of the answer is Kevin Byard, be one of the best safeties in the league next year. You know, Rashawn Evans, look more like the guy in 2019 who looked like he was progressing than the guy who looked like he was regressing last year. You know, Jeffrey Simmons, be a star. I mean, some of that is in the roster that you just have to hope guys have great off seasons and stay healthy and all that stuff. And then some of it is in coaching. You know, Shane Bowen, you are the D coordinator now. So prove that last year's weird whatever the heck was going on that Vrabel thinks was no big deal was just an anomaly as well. And that you as DC have everything under control and you're going to get the most out of these guys.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, good morning, guys. Going to miss Butler's scrappy gameplay. Hopefully Jackson learned a little of that from him, because I don't see Jackson as a guy who's tough like that in that way. But great decisions by the Titans going with youth. If Jackson just had a little bit of Butler's scrappiness, he would be a legit shutdown corner in the league.
Hey, if Vrabel could probably take a mindset and just apply it to every single person on his team, he would have probably taken it from Butler.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, first of all, it's not that common. I mean, he's just a guy that every day in practice he is talking the whole time. You know, I mean, like every rep matters to him. It's not Adoree Jackson. It's not going to be Adoree Jackson. He's not going to have his personality. But yeah, you want Adoree Jackson to just take another step in that way, because he has more talent than Malcolm Butler.
Yeah,
and ultimately that wins out more than it doesn't in this league. And that's why I think it won out here. But I agree with everybody who has seen that from Butler on game day. I mean, it's the exact same thing. And it's harder, I think, to find that on non-game days. I think it's more rare when someone is, you know, approaches their job like that all the time, and that's what he did. This had to have been just so painful in that building to part ways with him.
It did, and now the question is, how much wiggle room is this going to give you to address some other needs defensively? Because you still have a decision to make on Kenny Vaccaro, we would assume, at some point. Maybe he's the next victim of being cut from a cap casualty standpoint. And then, of course, the pass rush that we've talked about. Free agency about to get underway next week. You've got the draft coming up in about a month and a half from now. How much room does John Robinson have? How much room is he going to have to address things defensively? How much does Malcolm Butler being gone help you in that area? That's going to be the interesting part of this, to try to see how John Robinson pieces together this puzzle as they move forward here the rest of this offseason.
Well, it has to be what we just talked about. Certain, you know, people you know are coming back have to be better. They have to be coordinated better, all that stuff. And then, yeah, I can't see Vaccaro being here. Someone out there, and that's the thing, and the Titans have to be on the flip side of this too, but someone out there is going to look at Kent, who needs a safety badly.
Yeah.
Like, pay him $2 million to be a – that's a thing. I mean, and that's what the Titans have to be out here like, I don't know, Carlos Dunlap?
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that are going to be out there that you're like, man, for a year, last year, John Robinson went for it, paid $23 million for two, you know, edge guys and got nothing. And this year, he could get more out of that position from like $4 million if it broke right for him. So that's part of it, is the bargain bin. I mean, I think you've got to really, we're going to focus on, you know, the Judons of the world and Ngakwes and Duprees, but you might be able to get as much from someone that you pay a third the amount. And I think that's got to be part of every GM's plan, as names are flying around every day. This guy got cut and that guy got cut. I mean, I can't imagine that won't be part of the solution here.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD, who texted in the last segment supporting the Malcolm Butler move, says, "The more I hear people talk about it, the less I like the move of cutting Butler. But I keep saying to myself, in J-Rob we trust. In J-Rob we trust." So still lots of faith in John Robinson from CD.
Well, the overall tenure of John Robinson has been very successful.
It has.
There are a lot more good moves than bad moves. It's not been trending that way lately. This is not totally out of left field. And again, like Jarrell Casey at the time, I didn't like it at all. I was like, man, I know he's not as good, and you're saving that money, but gosh, I mean, this guy is like kind of like the heart of your defense.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I don't like, you know, it looks better now, even though they were so bad this year. I mean, I guess it's like one of those things where, okay, well, he got hurt and he missed a year, so how do you not hypothetically assume that would have happened here? But
who knows? But
yeah, who knows? But regardless, I mean, that's one of those moves that I think made sense, and this one is one of them that you didn't really have a choice. You had to do something, and you have to do more.
If you're John Robinson, are you kicking yourself over signing Clowney right now because of the rollover cap that you could have gotten and maybe kept an extra player off your roster?
Sure. I mean, anything that doesn't work out, but again, I go back on it. Like, to me, kick yourself harder, much harder for Vic Beasley, because I mean, like, no one else in the league was scrambling to get him, you know, and everybody in Atlanta was like, I don't know. I mean, Clowney, that was going for it. That was going for it. And I think when they cut Casey, that's the first name I thought of.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's the first name everybody thought of.
They're
going
after Clowney. Okay.
And so, we thought it might be in April when they went after him, and
wow.
Well, September.
Right, you got to wait
5 months later.
Well, it's just like now. You got to wait. You got to wait and see if he's healthy, you know. Yeah, sure, of course. It ends up being a whole bunch of money that could be helpful that didn't work out.
You also probably couldn't have predicted the cap being what it is, when you're making those decisions back in March, and maybe they made the decision to sign Clowney last March, and it just took so long for them to get it done. But, you know, perhaps they could not have predicted or did not predict that the cap was going to be this low.
Yeah, although by about 1 year ago exactly, you probably start to at least project, like, uh-oh, what's going to happen, right? I mean,
right, but 1 year ago we were saying, oh, well, hockey's going to come back in April. You know, that the NHL is only going to take a 3 or 4 week break, and then they're back for the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess as time went on, you had to have an idea pretty quickly. I mean, by the time you get to the draft.
Or at least by the time that you actually sign Clowney on Labor Day weekend.
Sure. Well, right. And at that point, again, you're in a bidding war. I mean, you know.
Sean Payton's whining and dining him out there.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't work, you know. Now, Pro Football Focus will tell you they got a heck of a year.
Yeah, man.
I mean, they say some of the same things about Clowney. I don't know. It wasn't $13
million. It certainly was not. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Tennessee Titans and talk about a move yesterday that they didn't make. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Tennessee Titans. And we've talked a lot about a move yesterday, Joe, that they did make, moving on from Malcolm Butler, no longer being a part of the group right now and saving $10 million in the process. But there was also a move yesterday that the Titans did not make. And we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week with the franchise tag deadline, which, before we get into the moves the Titans did not make, what did you think of the deadline remaining in place without the actual salary cap number being available for NFL teams? I know it's not a huge discrepancy.
Yeah.
Like, you know roughly where it is, but I did find it a little strange that teams are operating under a franchise tag deadline without knowing exactly what the cap's going to be.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying, right? It's got to be annoying for people. I mean, I assume this means that they've been told, I mean, it's between this and this, and it's not a huge difference.
You would think so.
But it'd be nice to just have all the numbers.
Especially, you know, when, I mean, things are going
to
be tight.
Yeah, especially when you're counting it down to the dollar.
Yeah.
You're counting it down to the penny. So that was a little weird.
It is a little weird. And
but the NFL gave us a 17-game season, so whatever. What do you expect from this frickin' league?
No hostility whatsoever from Joe Rexrode towards the NFL. But the Titans do not make a move by the franchise tag deadline yesterday. So that means no franchise tag for Jonnu Smith, no transition tag for Jonnu Smith as well. Now, he's really the name that we've discussed in this conversation. Corey Davis was not going to get the franchise tag. Jayon Brown was not going to get the franchise tag. So Jonnu Smith was, I think, the one realistic possibility that maybe could get it. Now that the deadline has come and gone, it looks like he is going to be entering free agency. Now, the Titans still can sign him before free agency begins next week. But as Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 points out, like, you've had 2 months to sign him at this point. If you're Jonnu Smith, I don't really know what the benefit would be for signing right now and without going to free agency and seeing what your options are at this point. So
that's fine. But, I mean, a lot of this stuff comes down to the last second all the time.
I mean, it does. But, like, you've already gotten to the part where you're 5 days away from free agency. Why would you not see what your market is at this point?
Yeah, I would expect him to do that. We do sometimes see the deal, the long-term deal come through
late
with some of these guys. It's funny because yesterday some guys were tagged and then some weren't. And in both cases, you know, you always hear, but they're hoping to make, you know, they're hoping to put together a long-term deal either way. I mean, the tag's a placeholder in some cases, and in other cases, it's like, well, they're more focused on the long-term deal. I mean, to me, if you don't do the tag, it just might mean that the Titans just aren't willing to pay Jonnu Smith the kind of money that he's going to command. I think that would be a mistake. If you're going to judge Jonnu Smith just on his production, to me, fine. You can look at the box score and say he's not worth it. Watch this team play football and watch the importance of an inline tight end who is a huge part of the running game, because this offense is so much about making things look exactly the same run or pass and can do everything he can do. They're not just out there to be had for low rates. I mean, so stronger and stronger I feel that Jonnu is, you know, really important to retain. But now I think it's obviously less likely.
Well, we had our poll question on Monday this week talking about Jonnu Smith and the options on the table for the Titans, and we gave out, you know, the transition tag or the franchise tag or signing him to a multi-year deal or letting him walk away. And I think both you and I agreed that letting him walk away should be a pretty distant fourth on this list. And now it looks like that's becoming more and more likely. Like, as John Robinson said a few weeks ago at his press conference, you may be in a situation with some of these guys where you just got to give them your best offer, but let them know at the end of the day, they're probably going to have a decision to make when it comes to their future playing destination. And it looks like that could be the case with Jonnu.
Yeah. And look, we're seeing reports today of what the Saints found $9.6 million in restructuring. They restructured Jenkins and Andres Pete. You know, they're still way in trouble.
They got some work to do.
Like
but hey, they still franchised somebody yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
That's right. I mean, I think they're like John Robinson obviously has to have some of that going on too. And you have to do that. But even with that, we've gone through the numbers. Like, if you're going to try to sign a pass rusher, if you're going to try to reform this defense, maybe it's from the start, it's been like, I can't sign any of these guys. It's possible.
It is possible. And look, I have operated under the assumption, and maybe the wrong assumption, that they're going to sign one of the three. I thought all along that there's no way that John Robinson would let all three of them walk. But the more I look at it, especially with news coming out yesterday that, you know, Allen Robinson getting the franchise tag, Chris Godwin getting the franchise tag.
Right.
That is not good news for the Titans in trying to keep Corey Davis.
No, he bumps up the list of attractive free agent receivers. Those two guys who absolutely would have been in front of him. Now they're off the market.
Exactly.
So he just up, and his price tag just went up.
So I'm starting to think it's a very realistic possibility that you don't have any of the three, Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, or Jayon Brown. And if that's the case, I mean, that's just the harsh reality of what this offseason is and what it looks like. But that would be, I think, a very tough pill to swallow for Titans fans if you lose out on all three of them.
And again, I'm put myself in Todd Downing's shoes. Hey, Todd, congratulations. You got your opportunity, buddy. Just keep this offense at 31 points a game. Oh, and Jonnu and Corey are leaving.
Yes.
Good luck.
You'll be throwing to a rookie and Anthony Firkser out there. No disrespect to Anthony Firkser, who's a good player.
Yeah. Hey, they need to sign him.
Yeah, they do.
They need to sign Anthony Firkser. But again, Anthony Firkser cannot replace what Jonnu Smith does. He physically can't do it. You know, like that's not what he is. Jonnu Smith is a guy who's a huge part of the run game, which makes him even more valuable in the passing game. Then this offense, it's critical to have that guy.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan texts in and says, maybe that's the play for John Robinson, for Brown and Smith to see what's really available out there for them. Then it shows them how good Tennessee's offer is versus the rest of the league, so that they can come back and sign on a team-friendly deal. I would say that's unlikely.
I love Disney movies, too. We were talking about Disney Plus before the show.
We were?
Hey, look, I will say this. This is the kind of offseason where we'll probably get surprised by, like, some of the low offers and things like that happen, too. So maybe it does come back around to that. You know, I think Corey Davis, to me, is now by far the most likely to be somewhere else because of those receivers being tagged. I can't imagine someone out there doesn't want to pay him. ESPN right behind you just, you know, had a big thing on the Patriots looking at both Davis and Jonnu Smith, by the way. But maybe, maybe one of those guys or both of them will just not get what they were looking for and come back. I don't know.
Brian Porth, how heartbroken are you going to be if the Titans don't sign any of these three, big three free agents that we've talked about all offseason?
I don't know if I would classify it as heartbroken. I'm not, you know, none of the three are like my guys. You know, Derrick Henry's my guy. But.
Well, I thought Eric Church was your guy.
Well, and Luke Combs. I have a lot of guys. But, I mean, it would be kind of disturbing when you think of the 2021 Titans if all three walk away.
Yeah.
I mean, Firkser, I don't think, no matter what, is going to be the number one tight end going into the year. that is a position where you'd have to go bargain shopping and try to find that tight end for $2-4 million that can come in here and put up the same production as Jonnu.
Maybe it's Cameron Brate. Maybe he becomes available. Get him in.
What is his? I don't know. What is his status? Cameron Brate's good.
I think he may be a casualty here, especially if they bring back Gronk.
Well, Titans, hey, John Robinson doesn't mind taking players from his former employer.
It's true. I mean, the Bucs are going to have to make some cuts if they're going to re-sign Shaq Barrett.
Yeah.
They just tagged Godwin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, if you're Jonnu, look, we've been looking at this from the Titans' point of view a lot. If you're Jonnu, do you want to go to an offense that is more pass-friendly, that he's not, you know, having to block a lot in the run game?
I would think so. I would.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure like blocking's fun, but isn't catching the ball more fun?
Especially when you're a guy like him and you're so dangerous after the catch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, and that's a good point. Even like with Corey Davis, I could see him, like, he fits perfectly as a receiver in this offense, but I could also see him being like, I'd rather just, like, be in an offense that throws all the time like most of these offenses are in the league and get more opportunities. So,
or be the clear number one on a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's not. I mean, if he's the clear number one on a team, their passing offense is very good.
He would be the clear number one for Baltimore. Or yeah. The 1A to Hollywood Brown.
No, he would probably be the most well-rounded receiver on that team. That offense is different. Actually, he would be great there, I think.
I mean, he would.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's where you want to go if you're trying to get, you know, heavily involved in the passing game.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they love – he would be perfect for them. It wouldn't be necessarily what he might be looking for. But he just – I mean, he's not a one. Now, he could get paid by a one now.
Yeah.
Except that it's this offseason, so maybe he doesn't. Kind of interesting, right?
It is very interesting.
Keep going around and around, chasing our tails.
What's
going
to happen with Jonnu Smith here? And some interesting moves made yesterday around the league as well. How does that impact what the Titans could do moving forward? We'll discuss that when we come back. Also, take your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Hey, John, obviously you face a lot of tough decisions to get your cap number where it needs to be, but obviously a lot of other GMs face that same situation. Does it make it easier knowing that there's probably going to be more players out there than usual that you may be able to get at a little bit of a discount with the lower cap?
It's going to kind of come in waves, I think. You've got the guys that are, you know, whose contracts are expiring or you know, they're set to expire already. And then you have the guys that are going to be released. So, you know, you're going to have to be strategic and try to gather as much information. Again, I talked earlier about some of the models. You know, we've tried to predict maybe some players that might become available. You don't really know for sure, but you're trying to kind of strategize of when to pull the trigger and when to be patient when it comes to acquiring and adding those guys.
That was Titans general manager John Robinson a few weeks ago addressing the unique challenges of this offseason here in the NFL. And Joe, the offseason now underway in the NFL. We've seen some cuts being made. We've seen some contracts that have been restructured and free agency getting underway next week in the NFL. So we are off and running here with the football offseason and talking about it all show long here today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to the text line, and JP texts in from Spring Hill and says, why are we disrespecting the up-and-coming tight end that we have in Mykal Pruitt? Now, we've talked about Jonnu Smith. The Titans make the decision not to place the franchise tag or the transition tag on Jonnu Smith, so it looks like he could be heading to free agency. What about Mykal Pruitt? What do you think about him and his future here with the Titans?
Oh, I like Mykal Pruitt a lot. By the way, he's a free agent too, just like Ferkser. All those guys, Swaim, they're all free agents.
There's no disrespect here when it comes to Mykal Pruitt.
No, I'm a Mykal Pruitt fan. He's a great story too. You know, Mykal Pruitt, as our Corey Curtis will gladly mention, as a proud Southern Illinois graduate.
Oh, yes.
I mean, he was a monster receiving tight end in college. Went in the fifth round, you know, so it's not like there were massive expectations for him. You're talking about a dude, 211 catches, 2,600 yards, 25 receiving touchdowns, Missouri Valley all-time leader and all those things. And I think every time he's had a chance, and it hasn't been a lot, but when he's had a chance to catch the ball, I think he's looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's not Jonnu Smith.
He's not number one tight end.
I agree. I mean, I think he's important to sign. I think Firkser's important to sign.
Yep.
And you know what? You might be okay with Firkser, Pruitt, and, you know, someone else who isn't, again, a super high-priced tight end. Again, we've talked about Kyle Rudolph. What's the market for him? What's the rate for him? He's been an awfully good player. A lot of tread off the tires there, but they could be okay there. I agree. I think Michael Pruitt is a guy. It's just, you know, he's not going to be a high volume. He's not a yard after the catch guy. He's not a speed guy. He's a very good blocker. He's an important part of this offense. I think they need to sign him and Firkser. It's just who's the other guy? If it's not Jonnu Smith, and how much do you invest in that spot? Are you okay with just basically like two blockers and like Firkser is a slot receiver? But again, you are way more predictable if you don't have a Jonnu Smith.
Right. Yeah. And we'll see if Jonnu Smith ends up hitting free agency and leaving, there will be some tight ends on the market that maybe you bring in for a lower cost. The question is, can they fit your offense as well as Jonnu Smith fits this offense? That's going to be something that the Titans are going to have to figure out. And some moves around the league yesterday on franchise tag deadline day, and a couple that were surprising. I mean, we've got some cuts out there that have been surprising, but also some franchise tag decisions that are surprising. I mean, we had Corey Curtis on from News 2 earlier this week, and he talked about like the salary cap position that Chicago is in. And then they go out and franchise tag Allen Robinson, who probably not good news for Allen Robinson. I'm sure he probably wanted to hit the free agent market.
He's mad.
He is, yeah, very mad at that point. But he's tagged. Chris Godwin tagged by the Bucks. So
that surprised me, too.
That surprised me. I thought for sure that maybe Shaq Barrett would be the guy that gets franchise tagged in Tampa Bay. But Chris Godwin, how surprised were you? And what do you think that could mean for Shaq Barrett? I've operated under the assumption that there's no way Tampa Bay is going to let him get to free agency. Maybe not.
Maybe that's John Robinson's play.
Could be.
Cut everybody, sign Shaq Barrett. Maybe that's the play. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, if you told me they're tagging someone, I'm guessing Barrett. And so, you know, meanwhile, they signed Lavonte David to like a team friendly deal.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing, too. Usually if you're in a position of the Bucks, you just won a Super Bowl, you get the advantage in some of these situations because guys are like, yeah, I want to win another ring with the mythical sea monster who never has lost a game in his life, Tom Brady.
The Kraken.
The real Kraken, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe they're still going to get a long-term deal done with Shaq Barrett. And sometimes these decisions are based on how talks have been going, too. It's like, okay, we're close. We're going to get this done. We don't need to tag him. So tag him. But, again, the tagging of Godwin and Robinson, all of a sudden Corey Davis is he just moved up two spots.
Well, and there was, for a minute, there were reports coming out that maybe Kenny Golladay was going to get tagged as well in Detroit, which made no sense to me. And that did not end up happening. So Kenny Golladay going to hit the free agent market. Yeah. But I was blown away. Like at one point yesterday, it looked like Kenny Golladay may get tagged by Detroit. And I was like, oh, poor guy. He thinks he's going to be out and leaving the Lions. And oops.
Well, meanwhile, poor Jared Goff. Yeah. You're going to have no receivers.
Yeah. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, should go well for you. Dan Campbell, don't worry. He'll get you all fired up to bite some kneecaps. But, you know, actually, that's a good point on Golladay. I mean, that actually is a spot ahead of Corey. So,
but still. The Titans were not helped out yesterday with the tags made by Tampa Bay and by Chicago.
No.
It's all a domino effect.
And what about the Jags tagging Cam Robinson?
Yeah.
Trying to understand that one.
Hey, they've got a lot of money to spend, man. Got a lot of cap space.
Yeah. But it's just like to me, it's like in the spot you're in, Like, what's the, why? I don't know. It's like you are not going to be good this year. I don't care what you do, you know? Kind of a curious decision.
I guess they're just trying to keep Trevor Lawrence alive for the first year.
Yeah, I suppose it is important not to get him,
Joe Burrow.
Exactly. You don't want the Joe Burrow situation in your first year. So I'm sorry, Urban. I should not have questioned you. Never again.
Your endless wisdom and foresight.
How about the Cincinnati Bengals not tagging Carl Lawson?
Yeah. See, Carl Lawson is the guy is everyone talks about him as the underrated, sort of under the radar, lower price guy. I'm not so sure about that. Everybody's talking about him. Like, I think
if everyone's talking about you, you're not underrated.
He would absolutely be someone I would think the Titans would get in there for. Now, he's good. Good young player.
And I'm interested to see what happens with Aaron Jones. He doesn't get the tag from Green Bay. And we know, being a running back, like, trying to go and maximize your money is just difficult nowadays. I mean, he's a guy that he can run it. He's a huge part of the passing game as well. The reports are that Green Bay is trying to sign into a deal. My guess is it's probably not going to happen. They've got two other running backs in Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon. So probably not going to be signing Aaron Jones. If he goes and he ends up hitting free agency, I'm very interested to see what his market looks like, especially in a year like this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a bad time in general to be a running back, unless here and there you get the McCaffrey deal.
Yeah.
You know, Zeke's deal. Right now a lot of Cowboys fans are like, eh. But most of them don't get that deal. So, yeah, Aaron Jones, to me, I think he's really good. But how much of a market will there be for him? Who would benefit most? Who needs someone like that who's a contender?
There's been talk about maybe Miami going after him. I don't know.
Yeah. Are you happy with the Packers with those other two guys? I mean, Aaron Jones. Yeah. Okay.
They'll be fine.
Power running.
Yeah. They'll be fine. I mean, Jamal Williams can catch the ball too.
Yeah.
So they'll be fine. Let's go back to the text line.
I want to make sure your Packers are okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate you looking out. Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that asked, what about Delaney coming in and filling the role for Jonnu Smith?
Yeah, look, it'd be a fun story. I had just had my doubts about what he is anymore as a player. As great a job as he did of staying in shape and everything, I think those injuries like that at that age, it's tough to overcome and be close to what you were previously.
Yeah.
Also, I do wonder about Delaney Walker after being cut by the Titans, after making his case, pleading basically publicly not to be cut, then getting cut the way Delaney Walker's, all these guys.
He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Anybody who's a pro athlete has one, probably has a chip in there because that's part of like what drives you, but he is a chip on your shoulder guy for sure. So, but even if he wasn't, that's not a factor at all. I don't know. To me, I'd rather go younger.
Yeah.
He was last good in 2018. I mean, 2019, he was broken down, and midway through the year, he was done.
Well, 2018, he was good for three quarters.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
So 2017.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time ago in the NFL.
It is.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, we paid big money for a running back when most teams don't anymore, which is fine, but now it forces decisions, especially with the cap drop. We don't need Davis or Smith. Budget replacements will work. Give the big dog the rock. As a running team, we've got to have a better defense to win games. You spend the money and picks there. We made this bed, so now we've got to lay in it. So Ben going all the way back to the running back contract.
Okay, so are you happy or not that you have Derrick Henry?
I think he's happy you have Derrick Henry. He said it was fine, but
he's talking about making
the bed.
Just
lays out the reality.
Yeah.
Of paying your running back big money.
Yeah, I mean, you should. I think you should pay your best football player good
Probably
money.
Should.
But it's fine. I mean, not a lot of teams don't pay a running back, so they pay other positions. You're also, and this will become more and more clear in the next couple of years, you're paying low money for what you have at quarterback. So you got to keep that in mind too. I just don't know. I just, I don't think it's just like, put whoever out there to catch the passes and it'll be fine, And also, you can't draft everything. Right now, I'm looking at Malcolm Butler and I'm thinking, well, they're going to have to draft a corner right, to be the third guy
yep.
next year. But then
where are you going to do that?
Yeah, where are you going to do that? Who? I mean, that's, you know, you can't draft everything. I think they're going to have to draft a receiver pretty high. They have to.
Yeah.
So there's two. So are they just dismissing the edge rusher thing that we've been talking about all along?
It's a tough spot.
I don't know.
But hey, you bring in Shaq Barrett, maybe you can just dismiss that.
Hey, you find the money and sign Shaq Barrett, then there you go. You're drafting a receiver or corner in the first round.
Yep.
And all is well. Super Bowl.
We'll continue to discuss the Titans throughout the show here and take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we're going to switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. Some tough news again for the Preds on the injury front yesterday. How does that impact the way the roster should be constructed moving forward? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.